From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Diane Maggio-Pinto. Starting as early as this summer, students at seven of the state's public universities will start seeing tuition hikes. KUER's John Reed reports the increase comes during a global pandemic and statewide campus closures.
Utah's system of higher education voted last week to raise tuition an average of almost 2%. But given the current state of things, board member Sanchaita Datta said that raising tuition right now is a bad look.
When all the private industries are talking about reducing workforce, we are talking about tuition increase. I cannot, with my conscience, support this.
Datta was one of only two dissenting voices against the decision. Chairman Harris Simmons says the increases are needed to cover a promise from the state legislature to raise pay for faculty and staff.
Even through downturns like this, your best people are always at risk of leaving. And so, yes, this is a lot about students. It's also about making sure that we retain good people.
The increases come as the regents adopted a working definition of college affordability, meant to guide how board members assess fee raises in the future. They define it as the ability of a full-time student from a family of four to cover tuition without taking on student debt, all while working, living at home, and using financial aid. John Reed, KUER News.
Governor Gary Herbert signed 151 bills over the weekend. KUER's Sonia Hudson has details on some of the high-profile ones.
Herbert signed a bill that would ban all elective abortions if the U.S. Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade. There are exceptions for abortions in cases of rape, incest, if the life of the mother is at risk, or if the fetus has a lethal defect. A bill essentially decriminalizing polygamy also got the governor's approval. It knocks the penalty for consensual polygamy down from a felony to an infraction, essentially the same as a traffic ticket. The governor also signed a bill aimed at moving the state away from its reliance on cash bail. The new law requires judges to release people before their trial using the least restrictive condition appropriate to their case, which could still mean cash bail. Sonia Hudson, KUER News.
The number of COVID-19 cases in Utah rose to 719 over the weekend, according to the State Department of Health. Salt Lake and Summit counties remain the state's biggest hotspots, while since Friday, Grand, Garfield, and Uinta counties have all reported their first cases of COVID-19. And Utah Congressman Ben McAdams was released from the hospital over the weekend. He had been admitted for roughly a week after experiencing severe shortness of breath related to the virus. Prominent Utah businessman and philanthropist Robert Garf died yesterday from complications of COVID-19. KUER's David Fox reports it's the third death related to the virus in Utah.
Robert Garf and his wife Catherine both tested positive after returning from vacation in Palm Springs. The couple self-quarantined, and he was admitted to the hospital last week after his condition deteriorated. The 78-year-old was chairman of Ken Garf Automotive Group, but wore many hats throughout his career. He was a former speaker of the Utah House, and a leader in bringing the 2002 Olympic Winter Games to the state. The Garfs are also known for the support of education. They founded the College Scholarship Program, Keys to Success, and have made significant donations to the University of Utah. David Fox, KUER News.
Residents living on the Navajo Nation are under curfew. On Saturday, President Jonathan Nez ordered the restriction for the hours of 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. as the number of cases of COVID-19 jumped to 115. Two deaths have been confirmed, according to Navajo Times. A pair of positives are confirmed on the reservation in San Juan County, Utah. The number of cases more than quadrupled since last weekend, and Nez blames that on people not staying home. The U.S. Forest Service is preparing for wildfire season and for how they can prevent the spread of coronavirus. Amanda Peacher explains.
It's really hard for firefighters to maintain 6 feet of distance between themselves and their crewmates. They drive to wildfires in the same rig, their tents tend to be close together, and for large fires, there's usually a big camp set up where everyone eats together, mess hall style. The Forest Service is already preparing.
And the question's going to be the trajectory of this virus come fire season and what kind of fire season we're going to have.
That's Professor John Freemuth of Boise State University. Fire seasons are already tending to be longer and more intense because of climate change.
If the virus is still with us, are they going to have enough people? And then how are they going to deal with people in close proximity? And this is an alarming, I think, concern to people in terms of worst case more than anything.
The Forest Service notes that wildland firefighting is critical work that will continue with guidance from the CDC. The agency has already hit the pause on some fire management activities, like prescribed burns. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Amanda Peacher.
And I'm Diane Majapinto, KUER News.